Welcome back to Cast Me to Hell with me, Seb.
And with me, Robbie.
And this week we are reviewing Skinamarink.
Well, we're kind of reviewing it. You found out already. We return to our divisive horrors section where we did Midsummer last time.
I mean, I forgot we were doing divisive horrors, but I'm happy to keep this in there. This is just how it rolls. I just kind of was like, yeah, I know this is a divisive one, so I know about it. And most of my opinions on this film are probably like split in some kind of divisive way. So
I think that's the best way to describe it. You know, I kind of like, I put up on our Twitter that we were doing, you know, divisive horrors, and we were coming back and we were covering Skinamarink. And quite a few people got in, and yeah, everybody was divisive on it. Some were calling it, you know, they loved it. They said it was one of the best horrors they've seen in years. Some people were just saying they were fucking bored to tears. They fell asleep during it. And it's a kind of surreal film. Like you said before we started recording, I told it to you in a certain way.
Yeah.
And the film wasn't like that. And I kind of said, I basically just go on vibes. Like, this is what the film's like. So
I'd heard about this film.
Okay, well, what had you heard about it?
No, I just heard about this being like one of those. I'd heard it in the same realm. So when you said about it, obviously, I knew it wasn't the same kind of film, but I knew it was about children in a house kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I thought, okay, we've got children in the house and it's all very like locked into one place. And again, this is put very much within like the COVID kind of films where like someone made something during, like it wasn't released during that time, but I believe this was kind of partially production during that kind of period of time or planned before they made it after that event. So in my head, I was thinking like Host.
Yeah.
You know, which we haven't reviewed Host, but on this podcast. But like that was one that was like I found to be like a surprise and like that was really good, and that was kind of like a different subversion, but you could tell it was limited by like only having like a small cast, a small amount of places to film and things. And this is exactly the same, except even less so, you know. And the thing about obviously Host was trying something a little bit different. With the more webcam-y, you know, Zoom kind of thing. Whereas this is obviously, again, something somewhat different.
Yeah.
But yeah, surreal is definitely a word to use for this film.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if you... Because we have a Cast Me to Hell TikTok that we don't use. And it is basically...
It sits there gathering dust.
And I basically just now use it every day just for general watching TikTok. And I don't know if you... Because you don't really use social media too much. But I don't know if you're aware of the whole kind of like analog horror kind of thing that's going on at the moment. Which is very much like Skinamarink and these kind of like liminal spaces, this weird thing of like kind of half nostalgia, half like you can't really go back there anymore. It has these weird, it kind of has the same vibes that the Skinamarink has, and it's something that I find myself like really drawn to. And I will just watch like slideshows about it and stuff like The Back Rooms, you know. And it's all this kind of weird stuff. And it's kind of rised with, I think it has definitely rised a lot more with TikTok. It's just been spread around with that and YouTube. But this film is kind of like an amalgamation of that, but kind of stretching it from a TikTok, which is a few seconds.
To be fair, those kind of things have been around, you know. I mean, one thing that has to be jumped out to me straight away has to be that, you know, this is like the last 5 minutes of Blair Witch Project, but thus that scene is then stretched into an entire film. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't a new like concept of having these kind of, I have seen the you know, those kind of videos of just those weird, you know, you're looking at something you can't really tell what it is, and a lot of it is almost in your imagination about what you're seeing, because it's what you had as a, what this film is trying to do. Like, it's a child, isn't it? As a child, you would look out at things and you would be like, there's nothing there. But I feel like there's something there. You know what I mean? You do these things. And in life, you have all of those things like dark corners, dark shadows. You go in the shower and you're certain that someone's about to run in and massacre you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just because you're in the shower. You're just like, you hear, the second you step in the shower, you're like, I'm having a shower. I can hear every noise that's happening around me. Why can I hear every noise?
The curtain's closed.
Why does it sound someone like just banged through my door or someone, you know, someone's literally about to burst in and just gut me?
Yeah, it does sound like that, you know. And there's also the thing that I found is like, and I get this a lot for some reason, but it's like your house kind of is a lot different at 2 or 3 in the morning. You know, when everybody's asleep, everything is just dark. You know, I still get this. I think I've mentioned it on the show before, but my parents' garden, you know, at night when you can't see anything in there and I like go out there and I just get this weird, terrifying feeling, you know?
Yeah.
And it feels very much like that. It's like something that's vaguely feels familiar.
I think it's that sense of something being there. It's like that literal, like, I'm here. And yet it feels like something's watching me. There's nothing watching you. You can't see anything around you. And you still feel like there's a presence around you, which I think is what everyone feels at some point in their life, especially at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
When you go downstairs and you're like, what the fuck was that? Like, what is this? Or noise. Or you just got into bed and you just hear like some random ass noise and you're like, oh, I can ignore it. Nah, I can't fucking ignore it. Yeah. Like, I just have to go and check. You know, I'm walking downstairs, like, start bollock naked or something like that. Just walking downstairs. Like,
well, that's going to scare him off.
Yeah. that'll scare him away. Am I bollock naked? Or, you know, I'm about to get murdered fully naked, like, in my house. Or I'm about to literally just, like, get into a fight fully naked in my house.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there's no one there and I'm just staring out a window and everyone's thinking if there's someone in the darkness, they're seeing me. Ball naked.
Yeah. But no, I don't know. I think like it's an interesting film for multiple reasons. And I think if you've a long time listener of the show, you know that we start at the start and we make our way through and we go through characters and the narrative and high points, low points, all of that, the kills. Whereas with this film, it's kind of hard go like that.
Literally can't do that with this film. No. I literally like coming into after watching this film, going like, I don't know how to like talk exactly, but I know how to like talk about like the summary of this film, but I don't know how to talk about this because there is no scene by scene.
No,
there are like scattered things that happen in a film where, you know, between shots of a top of a roof and the bottom of a floor, and you know, just long. Standing, tracking, slow moving shots where, you know, it's just purely like just sound and darkness, and you know, I like completely understand that kind of part of it, you know. But you know, you had someone on your thing saying about falling asleep. This was not a good choice for me the first time I viewed it was normally like the only time I had to watch it was basically once I'd got into bed at night. I tried to watch this film 3 times. I made it 10 minutes. Like, it seemed like every 10 minutes I would fall asleep on the dot. Because I literally like got up and I was literally exactly half, like by the third time I'd fallen asleep. And then when I went to watch it this time, I was exactly 30 minutes into the film. It's like every 10 minutes it had made me. So finally when I watched it, I was like, right, I need to literally like be like, it can't be too late. I need to be watching it. I need to watch, you know, we had a few films that I needed to watch like for the podcast, and you know, I was like, right, this one has to come first. If I leave this till last, I will fall asleep, you know. And it just literally was, because it is, you know, and that's not necessarily be like it's that, but it's definitely not something you watch when you're like in bed, because it's literally just it's hard to say, but you know, I can't say that this film is not boring at points.
No,
because it's a test.
It's such a weird film in terms of like when I was watching it, and I you know, my parents came around, and you know, we had dinner, and then I was like, I gotta watch some films for the podcast tonight. It was like 9:30 by the time they left, and I was like, no, I need to watch it. And I started watching it, and I found myself just like, for the first, I would say, 20-30 minutes, I found myself kind of like not really sure where it was, and then I think I synced in with it around a certain part, and I found it really fucking creepy. And I got halfway, and my wife said to me, like, what do you think of it? And I was like, I don't know. And I have a nature of just enjoying films. Mm. Like, as much as sometimes I can, you know, enjoy a bit of critical analysis, looking at a bit of mise-en-scene, times I'm just a fucking, like, dead brain. Yeah. And if it's just, oh, man blows things up, I just fucking love it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if it's a shit film, I'll love it. And she was like, you can say it's a bad film if you want. You know, you're allowed to say it's a bad film. I was like, but it's not a bad film, but I don't know if it's a good film. Like, I find myself at some moments feeling really unsettled. And I think what clicked for me is it's really grainy, like, to the point where I think it's too grainy. And I think it's set in, like, 1991 or 1996. And I had this thing where I was watching it, and I was like, it's so grainy. And I thought that the way in which the kind of graininess was moving, it reminded me of when I was young. And I went into my dad's fishing box, and I opened it, and it was full of maggots moving around. And then all I could see on the screen were maggots, and it took me back to being young. Yeah. And then I think once I got into, like, that mindset, I kind of was like, yeah, I find it, like, quite unsettling. Mm. And then I think I just, like, there was a certain point where I think I fell out of it because it got a bit too slow and a bit, like, too weird.
Yeah, I mean, the graininess and the tracking and the darkness, it very much, like, allows you to kind of imagine and see things inside of it. And that kind of follows through all the way until the very final shot of the film, where it's, like, everything that you have is distorted and you can't quite see and you can't quite tell. And, you know, I absolutely get how this, you know, I think it's, like, an interesting film. It's an experimental film, somewhat student-like in its nature, it does remind me of being a student, like, seeing student films, and then they're like, oh, I can find something interesting in this shot and this shot. And I think I think part of the problem is that with this kind of surrealist kind of parts of the film that I just kind of thought in my head is just the fact that something like this, you know, it's kind of artsy in that way, you know. But I think it pushes the boundaries of, like, what do you think good cinema or film should be? Because I think it's kind of that. Like, it can be anything, and art can be anything. But that also doesn't mean that everything needs to be a feature-length film. And this is a film that I think pushes the idea of this should be a feature-length film. Like I mentioned, Host, and even that cut off at, like, 58 minutes.
Well, you have as long as you have.
As you have. You know, that was an idea of that. But,
on point.
You know, but I also think, you know, this is, like, I mean, you said about that first bit, but, you know, and watching that first bit and going back to that first bit, and, you know, that first 20-odd minutes is, you know, it's so vague and so random and just full of just random shots and things like that. And it's like, it's kind of interesting taking in these kind of these dark corners and things like that to begin with. But then once you've seen that same kind of area, like, several times, and we keep staying on that shot for a long time, you're hearing noises in the background and it adds an interesting element to it, but it does just start to become quite monotonous. You know, it's quite a kind of, you know, I could find creepiness in it, but not for such the period of which we have to, like, wait through parts for anything to kind of happen. And that's where I think it pushes the boundary of what a good cinema or a good film can kind of do. Like, this is one of those that very much falls into the, oh, it's a really interesting surrealist thing like that. But, like, is it, like, actually a good, like, if you say that a film is made to entertain you, this is not a film that's made to entertain you almost, which is then makes you question the idea of
it's
a film at all kind of thing. And it's not that I couldn't find creepy. There are some really creepy parts in this. There are some really creepy shots. There are some creepy sound parts that we can talk about it, like, in a moment. I just think, you know, I don't know, it's just kind of like you stare at a piece of art and it's, you know, and it's interesting and it's moving, or it kind of gets you in somewhere and things like that. But it kind of feels like it has a purpose, and I understand what it's trying to do with this, but I can't deny that. I just believe that some of these shots are really good and some of these shots are pointless.
Yeah.
And just, like, that's why I said student film, because it's like, some of them can be on point and some of them are like, oh, that's interesting. And then, like, half the shots are also just random, like, background or some random guy, like, smoking a cigarette on a bench, and it's just like, this is interesting art, and it's like, it's fucking not. It's a guy smoking a cigarette on a bench. You can try and say what you want about it, but it's not. It's just not that interesting, and neither is the mouldings of a ceiling. It's just not, like, because some of the shots are not even, like, that dark or creepy. It's just kind of like, here's the moulding of your ceiling, and here's the bottom of the of the side of a door, and here's that bit. And, you know, later on, it kind of uses some of those to then make a little bit more, but it is, like, you know, some of these shots are just too pointless and too random.
Yeah,
like, I kind to of make feel- it work, especially when we're going on for an hour and 40 minutes. I mean, this really should not be that long.
No, I kind of agree. I think, like, there were some shots that were really kind of creepy. There was one where it's like, it's a really low angle, and you just see, like, the kids' feet, and they're staring in the same direction of the sofa, you know, or like they're both looking at the sofa.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of stood there. And it's that weird thing of, like, what's on the sofa, you know? And I think when you have some certain ones like that, and there was one where it was like, it was just like a door, and then behind it was just the, you know, was just darkness. And I think you naturally have that thing we were talking about a little bit earlier, where, like, when you see darkness, your eyes always play tricks on you, and you can see swirling. And I was like, is this somebody behind there? And there was another one a little bit later where it was also of, like, a door, but there was a light on behind it, and you could just see, like, the silhouette of, you know, half a person there.
Yeah.
And it was and some of those shots were really unsettling and kind of, like, quite creepy. But then there was some where I was just like, I don't get this. Like, it feels like they filmed a bunch of stuff and were like, we'll just see what hits a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, like, you know, there are just shots, and you're right, and to be honest, the ones that work best are the ones when it somewhat feels like it's related to, like, the child is going towards something, or you can see the outline of a hand or a foot, or a, you know, it's that distorted, like, message, you know, you're not actually seeing them fully, which again does somewhat make it, like, because you barely see the children at all, it does, I do find it creates a kind of a disconnect from it somewhat.
Yeah.
Like, you're not fully connected, because I get the idea that he's trying to do shots that, like, are never on point. But after a while in the film, like, I feel like this film, like, a lot of these shots would have been more interesting if we did get some that were, you know,
yeah,
were actual good shot, and we did get some kind of an idea of the children. Didn't have to be, like, a actual story, like, we're following them. But if we got some actual shots, I feel like these distorted shots would get scarier, as if the film almost started to deteriorate as it went along. You know, like, it started with more standard,
yeah,
and then started to delve more into these kind of more and more, so it's getting more and more erratic as it's going. That would have been extremely creepy, but like I said, that first 20 minutes just feels like it was, to me, like it was full of just mainly pointless shots to fill out a time.
Yeah.
And then it does start to build into more interest. You have got shots like the children, or the dad who is,
like,
going out, yeah, going out on the phone. You know, you get kind of those. So yeah, you're drawn in, you know, when you get a little nugget of something. You know. But it's also like, you know, you're like, yes, I'm more interested when something's happening. But again, it's that kind of like, is that good? I've had to feel bored to then to be like, this is more interesting. And I've also had to feel bored for it to then to be like, okay, this is kind of scary and creepy, but it felt like a lot of effort to get to those scenes, to the point where you started, you know, you're kind of getting, like, ramped up, and then you lose it, you know. It's getting that, like, up, and it's a proper up and down, and I can see how they're going with that. And, you know, I was going to say, the kind of cool shots that I put down, like the you've got, like, a pile of toys. There's, like, a kind of, like, well, like a pile of toys or a pile of items that were, like, gathered up in, like, a hallway. And then you've got, like, a figure in the background that you can't really work out. Like, there's a figure of it. And then it kind of pans back and further and
further. That's kind of a
later one. But it was, you know, and that's what it was, some of those ones that, you know, and it is a little bit later that I found more, you know, interesting kind of parts for myself, that I found, like, some of them, like, really, like, cool. But some of the stuff, like you said, with, like, the door, because there's several shots throughout the film of, like, certain doors where I've looked dark or it looks kind of bright, or sometimes it looks like it's so dark that it's the door in nothingness. It's like the door. You can see the door clearly, but everything else is just darkness. Yeah. Like it's like a gateway or a pathway to something else, you know. Like, you know, and obviously we've got the idea of these children in some kind of demonic presence, you know, that's within the house.
Well, I
and
mean,
you can't really, like, you can't really read in, you, there's not enough information, so you have to make a lot of it with your imagination, which I think is the point, I guess.
Maybe. I mean, narratively, what did you, like, what did you think of how it kind of told the narrative? Because one thing that I heard a lot of the detractors say about the film was that it didn't have a story. And whilst I kind of, I can see what people are saying, because I don't think it wasn't paced very, you know, act one, act two, act three, or anything like that. There's a narrative that's kind of interwoven. It's just told differently.
Yeah, there is a story going on, and you know, I could, you know, you could tell like the parents and then the kids, and they're like, they don't know where their parents have gone, and it's that idea of that they're stuck in the house and they don't know what's happening, and then obviously these strange things begin to kind of go on around them, and then. And then, you know, from then we start to get them actually starting to act out, or the sister starts to act, and then the brother does mutilates himself at one point, and, you know...
It's weird, isn't
really,
it?
Really. But the only thing is, like, I would, you know, like, say, so there definitely is a narrative, so I don't think it's true that there's no story to this at all, you know. It might feel like it if you're switching off. If your brain... I think that's very easy. If your brain switches off from it, then it's very easy to miss stuff, because you just start thinking, well, nothing's going on, and you're very much like, I'm ready to go and grab my phone and just stop paying attention to this now, because it's just not doing. But it does have that narrative. For me personally, it was the case of it's telling a story. Like, for instance, if you go onto Wikipedia and you look at the plot synopsis... That plot synopsis, I don't know who wrote that, I don't know if the director wrote that, but all of that detail I did not find, like, in the film. Like, I reading the stuff on that, because I decided after, I was like, right, so I think I've got an idea, but what is it saying? And then it has all these details in it. I was like, I mean, I guess maybe you've got to watch it again, maybe, and maybe you'd notice and put all these pieces together. But for me, there wasn't enough talk and dialogue and stuff. The longest part of dialogue is the part with the on the phone
with the police.
That's the longest point where you got information, I think. Apart from that, and maybe the dad's phone call at the beginning, apart from that, it's just very scattered, like very quick conversations and short dialogue, and then TV buzzes in that year and stuff like that, you know what I mean?
And the way in which the dialogue is, and the way in which the story is told, is overhearing conversations, you know. So it starts off where the dad is basically saying that somebody, and I think it's the boy Kevin, has fallen down the stairs sleepwalking, and then they have to go and kind of like get, they have to go, like, dad goes somewhere. And this is it. Like, I'm not reading the plot summary now because I wanted to go and what I was able to piece together. But it was very much like they've, you know, the dad's gone, they're home alone, and then for some reason they don't see the man.
I didn't find it easy to actually hear exactly what they were saying. Like, it's very distorted.
Yeah, and I'm hard of hearing anyway. Yeah. I was, at times I was like, I don't
know. Well, because I, like you do as well, but for this I was like, the second it started getting into actual speaking to it, I was like, right, I definitely have to have the subtitles on for this to actually have a clue what's, you know, somewhat what's going on. But that still didn't, even with the subtitles, it still didn't really clear it up for me.
I mean, There were quite a few theories about what's going on, and maybe we'll talk about, we'll run through some of those theories. But the very much the idea that I got, at least for the running time, was basically like the dad has to rush out, and the kids are kind of having, like, you know, they wake up and they're home alone. Behind, and there were some bits of evidence that I kind of found, like the toilet disappearing, you know. I was very much like, well, if they're like, if you got a 4-year-old, they might still be potty training, so the idea of having to go to the toilet by themselves might be scary, so they don't register that the toilet goes. The windows and the doors going is very, to me, is almost like when you're maybe that age, you don't go out on your own. So it, without your mum and dad, the outside world doesn't really exist.
Mm.
So they didn't, you know, the doors and the windows disappeared because they just didn't see them, you know?
It didn't register to them, it wasn't something
that they considered. And I think, like, I think maybe that, that works, but it's kind of as you get towards the end, I think, like, is this a dream? Like, what happened with the mum and the dad when you see them? And then you have the, you have the nice reference to I have no mouth but must scream, you know, where you see, I think it's either the mum or it's the, I think it's the sister, where she's got like no eyes and no mouth, and it's kind of like, that's really weird. At the end, I was very much like, maybe this is, you know, where you see the distorted face, maybe this is his mum, like, checking on him whilst he's asleep. I don't know.
And that's what I, like I was saying about the line between like interesting and things like that. And I do not, you know, I'm not saying at all, like, I don't want a film that like spoon feeds everything to me.
No.
Like, normally, like, some of the best films ever made are the ones that give you a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a, you have to read into that, or you don't know everything. And there's something scary about not knowing and not understanding. But, you know, there's also something interesting about knowing something. And I feel like I did not know most of the time what was happening in the film. And I don't think that's just it. And I think some people will, you know, obviously take this as a, you, oh, but, you know, you've got to read into it. And you've got to make up your own story and stuff like that. And that's fair, you know. And that's great and all, like, in concept. But I just don't think it leads to the most enthralling and interesting of films. Because...
Yeah.
You've got, you know, a film really needs to have you sent to have you connected to, like, you know, like Blair Witch Project, for instance. You know, it's, you know, I don't think the Blair Witch Project is actually a very good film. It was a great marketing campaign, not a great film. I don't think it's that good of a film, but even that had like characters for you to like follow in somewhat thing. But that was a film that also borders on kind of, you know, quite, you know, boring for a certain point. It's kind of like you're following them and nothing's really happening and nothing's really happening and oh crap, there's some sticks in the wood and oh no, and then oh no, someone's fallen over and someone's, you know, crying on the camera and not, we don't know what's going on, and you know, it's that, but you still had somewhat of an idea of why they were doing it and what they were doing and things like that, you know, to the point where at the end it was like, what the hell just happened, you know? And that's why the ending is the only majorly scary part in that film kind of thing. And this one has lots of those shots that are creepy and scary and really, really work in that kind of way. And it just, it's just the fact you keep going round and round. Like, you just feel like you keep getting the same thing shown to you again and again and again. And to some people, that I'm sure really works really well, and it's terrifying. But I would question, I just think time-wise, I would question whether anyone really was able to fully, like, embrace. If you saw this in the cinema, maybe.
Yeah.
Because cinema's different. There's, like, a focus level change in the cinema. You know what I mean? It's not the same as being at home. You can kind of really, like, switch off. And some of this would really work. But I also couldn't help but feel that classic, you know, not just Blair Witch, but, like, Paranormal Activity kind of, you know... We're watching something and it's not an interesting thing, and the way that the director tries to make it interesting is by distorting the vision and by adding some sound effect to it to make it make horrible noises that then make you jump because it's a horrible noise that suddenly just pops in out of nowhere. And, you know, and it's that kind of stuff that always turns me off to these kind of things, because it's just kind of like, it just feels kind of like lazy scares. Like, it's scary because you know nothing. But this film constantly just has scenes where it's just like screech and like bump and like move, and there's just a lot of that that happens.
If anything, I didn't feel like there was a whole lot of that. There was two, I think there was two kind of jump scares that I remember there being, and then I feel like most of it, I feel like, was that, like, this is just a shot of something, and it's like, This is fucking weird and a bit unsettling. Like the end, you know? Where like you see this distorted face, and the whole time I'm like, there's a jump scare coming. I know it. And you know when you get a little bit kind of like on edge and you're a bit like, when's it coming? I know it's coming. And it's it's just like a knee-jerk reaction. I'm going to get it because it's coming.
Yeah,
but I know, and it's a little tense. but it didn't happen. And I felt a lot of the film was like that. So there were two jump scares that I remember. The one where you see the sister, where she just kind of like bursts up and you see her face. And I was kind of, and I was like, when that happened, I was like, this film doesn't really feel as if it's the kind of film that's going to have jump scares. This is like an hour into it. We haven't really been playing jump scares up until here. So it felt like it came out of nowhere and it didn't have that whole setup. And then the second jump scare, which actually did get me, was when it's kind of very towards the end and there's like a flashlight that's like flashing on things. It like flashes on like a wardrobe, flashes on a hand or something like that, and then it flashes on like that kiddie phone, and then the phone just suddenly changes. That got me.
That one was effective because of the kid, like the nostalgic old Tinker Toy telephone. That will work because, and then it also tracks on that where all the rest of the light goes out, but you can just still see the one eye, which makes it an oddly creepy eye when you're just looking at just the eyes of it. It's really weird. That was one of the shots that I thought was like quite like, I like that. It wasn't jump scares like that though. That I mean, I just mean that it's constant like just screeching, rising sound. So if you're just sitting in a dark, quiet room and you've got that, it was those kind of ones. It was about the sound that was more of a like a bugbear for me, like where it was just like we're staring at nothing, and now you're just going to add in a big sudden like creaking sound or like screeching sound on top of it, which. There's a lot of those kind of screeching sounds throughout this film that kind of like you're like rising sound and rising like sound and parts like that. And I feel like so someone just watching in the dark, that would be like a lot of jumps, like just from sound, just trying to make the sound kind of thing. But it's like those bits added in, but like to try and add that interest, but it's like, but nothing interesting is actually like happening in the scene. Like it's just a skirting board. It's just it just literally is a skirting board that we've just spent about 1 minute staring at, kind of thing, you know. And it does, like you just said, there are some interesting kind of moments. The toy bit's really interesting. The bit that I thought was was probably the creepiest for me was the boy talking to the creature. And then telling him to stab himself in the eye.
Yeah.
I thought that was quite like creepy because it then followed by the screaming of the child as it goes on. And
then it was like, it said something about his sister. It said she wanted to I wrote it down. Because a lot of the quotes that popped up.
She wanted like mummy and daddy. Yeah. She wanted mummy and daddy.
Katie
so
did
took
do
her
as
mouth
she
away.
Was told.
Oh yeah.
She said she wanted her mum and dad, so I took her mouth away. And it's kind of like, when he's talking to the monster, it's pretty weird. And you don't, again, you're wondering what if this is real, if any? What if it's just a nightmare?
Yeah.
What's actually happening? And it's got a level of that unsettling to it. There was a really good shot towards the end where, like, they were on the ceiling, walking through the house and everything was inverted.
Yeah.
That was super creepy. And as you kind of got towards the end and you started kind of dealing with this demonic thing more, it that's where I think a lot of some of the theories that I've seen come in. You had the conversation with the police, when he's like, why are you whispering? Is somebody in the room with you? That's super weird. When you see the silhouette of the person, and you're like, that's not a fucking kid. That's like it's an adult. It's kind of weird. And it did make me think, like, have they gone away and somebody's broken into the house? Or somebody's breaking in whilst they're waking up looking for them? I don't, it's fucking weird.
Telling them to do things, that's why you just think demonic, because it's like, I tell him to do something and he does it, kind of thing.
Yeah.
That makes you fit. Like, there's the one I liked was the girl, which could be Kaylee, but could be the mum. So she sat in the room and she like slowly disappears.
Yeah,
you see her on camera, like slowly, shot by shot, she kind of just disappears, which I thought was a really striking image, because you kind of hear like moans in the background as if she's been like completely taken away, because then obviously after that you don't see any more of Kaylee at all. So that's why I thought it was Kaylee, although I think on the just plot description that I read, it didn't even say it, just said a girl. So in my head I just thought, well, if it's just, if we're only saying it's a girl, I'm assuming it's Kaylee. But I thought that was a really striking shot. And I've got that final distorted one that you kind of mentioned a moment ago, that final one with Kevin in the bed. But again, I had that's another one where I had to look it up, because I was like, is this distorted face Kevin's face, the boy, or is this the monster? Because it looks like a person.
It looks like a woman, I think.
You know, it's kind of, because there's no like hair or anything like that. It's basically just the face you're seeing. It's kind of like seeing one of those like blank masks, you know, the white masks they use for art.
Had feminine features, if you ask me. It was a femboy.
But that's why it could have been like a small child, because like a 4-year-old is meant to be. So I was like, is this meant to be him, or is this meant to be the creature? And again, on plot descriptions, it says that is the creature, the monster, the person, whatever it's meant to be. That's what it is, you know, which I guess like when you're looking at it, you're doing that. But again, it's another one of those like, we haven't really seen like clear full on shots of anyone the whole film, and then you've got this like one shot of that kind of thing. But it's also leaving you on a shot that's like, yeah, I can see that's creepy. You know, you can't really see his face. It's like, you know, and the more distortion that's going around it, the more it's making it look as if the face is changing or moving, or, you know, it's got that core. It's like, yeah, that's a cool shot at the same time. But at the same time, it's also like the film's now ended on another kind of thing of like, I don't actually know who we were just looking at. I don't actually know what was just going on. And again, a film doesn't have to give you answers, and it doesn't, you know, but, you know, you kind of want something.
No, I kind of like that, because I expected them to go fucking jump scare. You know, I thought they're doing a jump scare.
It's going to scream at you.
You know, I was like,
oh, I didn't mind I didn't mind it just fading out to that. Like that was fine. It's just more the general logic of the film. I'm questioning that necessarily the shot. Like, I think that was a really cool shot, and you know, it doesn't tell. But again, it, just like everything else, it doesn't tell me almost anything, kind of thing, which is fine. It's a blank canvas, and this is why I'm like going back and forth in my head, and I understand why this is completely divisive, because, you know, it's experimental and it's interesting. I just, at the same time, I just go like if someone asked me, oh, should I watch Skinamarink? I don't think I could tell them to sit through this film.
No, I think if...
I wouldn't recommend it to anyone, like, because it's more of a case of like, you know, I don't think most people at all are going to enjoy this film.
I'd recommend it to somebody I know who likes films. You know, there's a difference between somebody who's like, oh, you like horror movies, give me a recommendation.
Whereas if
there's somebody who's like, oh yeah, I'm actually into them.
If you're a proper horror and you like to try out anything, then I think. Or if you like surreal, or you like, I don't know, French cinema.
Yeah.
Then you like random shots of nothingness that kind of go nowhere, or, you know, and it's a big question. Those kind of films in horror or not in horror are always deemed like that avant-garde kind of cinema is always deemed kind of like, some people it's like, this is brilliant, and to other people it's like, it's a dog fucking shot of a tangerine for 2 hours. It wasn't fucking brilliant.
There's a picture of a dog doing a shit.
You know,
like,
what I mean?
What's that?
I just watched a sofa and some skirting boards for an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, it was a couple of bloody screams. That was it, you know, like, is that a great, you know, film? You know, it's certainly not something I would put on like a, this is one of the greatest horror films ever made kind of thing. You know, I wouldn't put it in like a, this is one of the best films I've seen in recent like history. But I don't know. I don't feel worse for having seen it.
No.
I don't feel like I'm like, I shouldn't have watched that at all. Like, it was a complete waste of my life kind of thing. Because it's somewhat interesting. But I do question to what level, if people think this is like a genius film, I do question to what level you think that is like...
I mean, I could... You know. The weird thing is, I could see both things. If somebody said to me, you know, I think this film is like incredible, there's so much to it, I would be like, yeah, I know what you mean. And then if somebody also said, it's dog shit, it's boring, and I just fell asleep, I'd be like, I understand.
Yeah.
It's a film that isn't, it's unsettling, and it has some kind of like, has artistic merit, you know. It's an interesting film. It doesn't hold your hand. It leaves a lot to interpretations and what you think it's about. It strikes a certain feeling. Like, I remember, you know, when I was like a teenager, my room used to be downstairs.
Yeah.
And I had like, I had like a patio door behind me, and then I had like a glass door. So it, during the night, I would always look out and there would just be darkness. And there would be times where I'd be in bed and I'd be like, did somebody just walk past my door? Because my eyes play a trick. And it brings me back to like this weird kind of moment.
I completely, like, that's what I was like. Yeah. I was like, I completely 100% get what the director was doing with these parts and all of these things. But the thing that would make me question whether we say it's a great film is the fact that, yeah, that's really good, but you get that feeling at like one point in the film when it's somewhat interesting. But there's a lot of the film that really isn't interesting, and it's not, it doesn't feel like there's any message or reasoning for what's kind of happening. That's why I would question saying that it's a, like, a great film. Like,
I think, yeah,
there's a lot of bloat in this film, and I just think it's a lot of, I think if this was a short and down film, almost possibly this should be somewhere between a feature length or a short film, to be honest. Like,
yeah, I think an hour. Yeah. An hour 10.
An hour, like, something like that would have really kind of condensed this down into, okay, that was actually quite scary. Whereas this has that student filmy blow to thinking that every shot is amazing, a masterpiece. Well,
there was a, like, an example of that that I felt was, there was a scene that I thought was genuinely, like, terrifying. And it was when, I think, the girl went upstairs to her parents' room. And she enters into her parents' room. And at first, you know, you're just seeing, like, the bed. It kind of reminded me of, like, what you'd kind of see in an early, like, Resident Evil, like, you know, trailer.
Yeah.
It, like, follows through the house. And then you go into the bedroom and you're like, the bed's empty, obviously. Both of them are out. And then you see her dad sat there, like, facing the wall. And I was like, what the fuck? And then he says, like, look under the bed. And I was thinking, jump scare. She's got to look under. There's got to be a scream or there's got to be something like that. But it panned down. We stare under the bed. It's quite unsettling. And then, I know I've used that word loads. And then it goes up and the dad's, like, still facing the wall. You can't see his face or anything. And then he's like, look under the bed again, or whatever. He says, like, the same line. She looks under, and then when she turns up, like, the mum's there.
Yeah.
And the mum's suddenly there, and the dad's gone. And it's super creepy. And it had that moment where I was like, have they ever been in this house? Like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
But then, almost, like, straight after that, I think you get the scene where, like, the toilet disappears. And then you get a scene where they're in the living room and they're playing, like, some old cartoons, and there's lots of shots of, like, the play blocks on the floor and then, like, an apple juice, like, getting taken away or a block falling over.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, I feel like they built something, and then we come to this section where we get, like, another, like, 10-15 minutes of almost, like, they talk about moving the sofa. I almost felt like there was nothing. And then we started to get the weird thing where it's like the sister's got no mouth and then put a knife in your eye. And it's almost like, I feel like if they'd have got rid of, like, that 15 minutes in between, and then they got rid of some of that, some of the bloat, I feel like you could have had a real tense hour.
It does have the merit of those scenes where they are effectively, you know, creepy and, you know, scary. Yeah, it's just that question of, like, do you think that those scenes actually add anything extra to the film? Like, I understand the idea of make people wait for it, make people wait for something else to happen, you know, things like that. But again, I do think that, like, when we get to those points, there's not enough that actually then happens to make it feel like you're not then going straight back into another 15 minutes of another long...
A bit of a lot.
Oh, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's nothing against, like, building up to it. I've got no problem with that for a while, but when it is just, like, stop, start, stop, start, and you feel like you're not getting much progression in this film at all, like, I think that's what starts to make it a bit hard to be like, can I justify sitting here and watching the rest of this film if I'm just going to keep having this kind of, like, you know, I could stare at a wall by myself.
Yeah.
I don't want to, but I could.
Yeah, I could.
I could do that, you know what I mean? I can, for some reason, instead of staring directly at the wall, I could stare at the upper left right hand corner and just stare at that for about, you know, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and there you go. And that's how my life goes. But it just, I think it just is. You can see why people lose, kind of may lose patience with the film. Kind of be like, what the hell's going on? And I think it's hard because, as I said, like, also with a film like this, I feel you need something to draw you in. And I do believe that the first 15, 20 minutes is very, very, like, monotonously slow. So it doesn't do enough to kind of pull you in. So I feel like they would lose viewers very, like, in that first, like, what the fuck is going on? It's 15 minutes and nothing, you know, because you are kind of wondering that, like, what is going on? And it's, you know, it's a test of, you know, it's a test of that darkness and your imagination and kind of building more into it. And really, and you do need to be able to really focus on the film to be able to, like, watch it and, like, thing. And it's almost like you need to be scanning for something. So that's why I think it's absolutely got merit in, like, the style. But like you said, it's also nothing that you can't see on a creepy video on TikTok that only lasts a minute.
Yeah.
And then you could watch several of those in a couple of minutes, and those 4 minutes of, like, scanning several of those videos would probably have more that happened in it than that happened across this whole film, and probably would be just as equally as scary as what, you know. There is the idea of, you know, that's something scary, but when you stretch it out, is it still that scary? It's like,
yeah.
And that's why, like, if I start to get bored of staring into darkness, then I feel like the power of the film is losing its way.
Yeah, you feel like you need something to push you on, don't you?
Yeah, so, yeah, and, you know, it just feels like it just collapses on its own idea to me, personally.
Yeah.
Like, not that it doesn't get, like, creepier and bigger towards the end, and, you know, it deserves that praise, but, you know, it isn't overslow, and it just doesn't really give you much. I know, like we said, general audiences would hate this film. You know, like, a general audience, you wouldn't get a thing, you know, you wouldn't show this to, like, I don't know, your dad or something like that. You're like, that's fucking great.
Well, I tried to explain it to my dad, and he was like, I don't think he got it. And I tried to explain.
He was like, I should have aborted.
He was like, yeah, I should have just killed you when you were born. You know, it's not too late. And then I watched, then I was speaking to somebody at work about it, and they were like, oh, like Blair Witch, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, yeah, kind of like Blair Witch, maybe. You know?
It is. I do think the what I said about the last five minutes of Blair Witch stretched into an hour and 40 minutes is kind of what this film is. It's that creepy long shot of, like, what am I seeing? Oh wait, there's a person. Basically, that the film. It's, you know, it's the end of Blair Witch, the film, and, you know, it works at times. But I think even the most broad-minded of people, it will test.
Yes, I mean I'm jumping over to the social media lounge a little bit early, if you don't mind. So we put up about the films we were watching, and it's really interesting to see the films that people comment on and the people ones, you know, people just kind of don't.
to be honest.
But we put them up on
it's
Twitter,
always normally the obscure ones.
It is, isn't it?
We put up
Burial Ground, you know, had 100 replies or something like that.
Yeah, and then 80. Something like, you know, and even to us, even like behind the scenes, but even in like numbers, The Fly, a well-renowned and big film, and to be honest, not a lot of interest appears, you know.
Go and watch our episode on The Fly.
Go and watch our episode on The Fly. But I mean, even like on like asking people about it, we were finding like, there's not that much interest, you know what I mean? And it does seem to be like, if it's a bigger horror film, apart from like a classic or something like that, no one wants to speak about it. But you take some obscure film from like recently or even from like 1970s and they're like, fuck yes, I'll give you a dissertation on this one.
Well, I'll try and keep it balanced because it is divisive films. So Steve All Dead said, I think it would have been a very creepy, highly effective 15-20 minutes short, but unfortunately without a narrative, character development, plot structure or any real justification for anything that's happening on screen, I couldn't really get into it and did become bored quickly. But then on the other hand, Alex said, loved it, but you have to let yourself just be immersed by it. Phone away, lights off, viewing alone at 2 a.m. in an empty house vibes. And then another balance is Habitat for Horror. Had my attention at first. Very eerie and downright creepy at times, which I appreciate. Wish they just presented more to the audience, though. Just not enough to make it too memorable. You had a few more saying that they were into it. And then Joker Cards, fucking hated it. The concept was there, but the execution of the movie and the way it was done was horrible. 2 hours of shitty, fuzzy camera shots, bad audio, and nothing to really connect you to the characters. I fell asleep about an hour of nothing happening. So, honestly, if you go on to our, you know, go on to our Twitter at CMDH Podcast and you have a look, you'll find like a people either do love it or just found it boring, shit stain, you know? So
yeah, I mean, and it's that thing. It's a merit of you know it does. I do think it's a film that just pushes you to such a, it pushes you to such a low interest level that when something finally happens, you may think that this is the greatest thing that ever happened.
Yeah,
because something finally happened.
Yeah,
it's like the most of the film like drags you to a lull of like only tiny little bits of like I'll give you a little bit, then finally it kind of gets a little bit more in the last like 20 minutes or so.
Yeah.
So that you get enough interest in shots and stuff like that that I feel like it might bring you back, that you were kind of in some kind of like comatose state and then suddenly you were like, oh, actually that was good because the last 20 minutes was good. But yeah, but then on the flip side of that, that's my question is like, if something only really draws you in for a few real minutes or the last ending of it, but you felt that you were tested or like uninterested for quite a lot of the film, then I can't really deem that that is a great or a good film. It's an interesting film. It falls into the, that was interesting, but those kind of films are always like, that was interesting. That doesn't necessarily mean it was good.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I mean, we'll wrap this episode up because like we said when we got to record, I don't know how much we can talk about it.
And we did alright.
We've done alright. I don't know how long, you know, what much else we can talk about. So as you stand, you know, what side are you on, you know?
I kind of just summed it up like that. Although I do think it's interesting and I give merit to it, and actually in terms of sound editing, I actually think it's quite good because it might, you know, to pull off that. If it was shitty sound edited, then I think this would be, you know, it wouldn't work at all. Like, the sound is the one thing I would say. It's the shots that I think are questionable as to why we needed those kind of shots. I 100% believe if this was a short film, it would be an excellent, fantastic short film. But as a long film, I do think that it's just not that good, I don't think. Yeah. I think it has interesting parts, and I think it's not a complete waste of your time. But it is just like most of the film is really just testing you on your patience, I think.
Okay. I feel like I'm just like sitting on the fence, and I'm going to try and not do that. Because it's quite frustrating in a way, because for everything that I found good and interesting, there's almost something that I find holds it back. So do I really like, you know, analog horror, and do I like this style of like, I really like the feeling that it gives me and these kind of memories and this time that it takes me back to. Yes, I like that. I think that's really, really good. It's interesting. It does have moments of being unsettling and quite creepy and eerie, but then on the other hand, I think it's pretty bloated. You get like, you know, it's like an hour and 40 minutes. It could have been an hour. And if I'm kind of like being honest, I think the more surreal it got, I think the less I enjoyed it. I kind of liked the first part of it a bit more. Mm. I think there was some creepy stuff, but once we started getting to like his sister being going weird and the demon talking to him, maybe it's because I found the scene with the parents so creepy, and I almost feel like that kind of should have been more towards the end as opposed to halfway through. I feel like I became uninvested in it, you know. Yeah. I lost a lot of interest when it did just go to scenes of, you know, old creepy
expectations.
Yeah. You know, we have this thing at the moment of like, oh, aren't old TV and aren't like old songs creepy? And it's like,
it did start to delve into that supernatural and paranormal activity ish kind of, not the same, you know, but it delved within that level. And, you know, in my head, to be fair, I think I did write in my notes that I thought that actually, for me personally, I found the film more trippy than I did scary.
Yeah.
Like, it's scary and the idea, but that's more like, there were certain shots that I thought, yeah, that's scary. But for the most of the film, it was just kind of a really trippy, you know, if you got really high and then watched this film, it might be a really interesting film.
I feel like if I watched this film at 2 a.m. in the morning, alone, in the dark, a little high, it would be the most terrifying thing ever. You know?
Yeah. I mean, how question out there, if you're listening and you commented on our Twitter, how many of you were stoned when you said this was the
How baked were you when you watched
How baked were you? Because that, I think, changes the opinion.
Yeah.
There's a different review board for the, if you're stoned, level of review.
I think if I had to say, though, I think I would probably go more on the other side. I don't think this is quite as bad as people have made it out to be. I think there's a lot of bloat and there's a lot of nothingness. But I think, you know, if they'd have just tightened it up, it would be, you know, it would be better. I think it wasn't terrible. There were moments where I was genuinely unsettled, so I can't say it particularly failed as a horror film. It put me on edge, and it was eerie at moments. And I don't think it was, you know, it wasn't all a boring slog like I kind of expected. But then, on the other hand, it was better than it was bad, I think, you know?
This is starting to remind me again. We always come to Always Sunny. This is reminding me of I licked her asshole.
It was okay.
It was all right. It was fine.
Yeah, that's effectively, it was pretty good. It was okay.
It's the accidentally licking an asshole of
film. It's the accidentally licking asshole of film. It's all right. It's not bad, you know?
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine, yeah. So... yeah, I feel like you still ended up pretty much on the fence.
I did, but I
feel like
you
went away from the fence and you came back round and then landed.
I would give it a 6.
Tailed yourself on that fence.
I give it a 6 out of 10, so I'm a bit more leaning towards the watch it.
It's down the middle. Yeah, it's a down the middle kind of one, but yeah, I think a lot of people won't fully be into it.
But I mean, come and let him a rink. Skin him a rink, dink. Come and let us know. Come and let us know your thoughts on Skinamarink and this kind of weird film. Do you think, you know, where do you sit on the fence? Are you team it's good or team it's poo? Give us a hashtag it's good or hashtag it's poo. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at CMTHpodcast. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and please leave us a review. We will see you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.